Across the Desk with Clement Magnatella on 702.
All right, it's 14 minutes after 10 o'clock. Let's start with our Across the Desk feature now. I am hosting cabin crew members on Across the Desk this morning, flight attendants. We want to find out more about the work that they do. And if you are in the industry yourself, you would like to comment about what's exciting you, what's frustrating you, what are the challenges, you can give us a call. Or if you've got questions you've always wanted to ask flight attendant, you can call on 011-883-0702 or send us a WhatsApp voice note on 072-702-1702. Let me introduce you to the guests here in studio with me. Teboho Madisha is a cabin crew member. Thank you for making time. Good morning.
Thank you so much. Morning, how are you?
Good, good. Claudia Zulu, also a cabin crew member. How are you doing?
I'm good, thanks, and yourself?
Wonderful. And we've got Andile Makatini, who is a former cabin crew member who worked with SAA. Welcome back.
Thank you, Clement.
The last time you joined me on the 702 open line, and I don't know how many calls we got from people who were like, oh, we know yes. Andile.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Thank you guys for making time for us. So, I want to start off with this question. There was a time, because I love traveling, from when I was young, I've always wanted like to travel the world. And I remember when I was in matric, I was thinking to myself, I think I should probably be a flight attendant because I'm going to travel the world. And then someone said to me, no, you need to learn, you need to know how to swim. Is it true?
That is
and then
true.
That's the day I decided, forget the dream because I'm scared of water and I cannot swim. So I was like, the dream really, that's the end of the dream. So you guys have to learn how to swim.
It is a requirement.
Yeah, you do. You still find some people that are really nervous of swimming. Yeah. Like they don't entirely know how to swim exactly the perfect way. But you do learn. You learn because you go through an extensive training with the whatever airline that you're working for. Yeah. And so you'll perfect it as you go.
Okay. Let me ask all of you, how did you get into it? Let's start with you, Claudia. What was it for you? Were you fascinated about travel? Do you like being of service? What was it about the job for you?
So initially, I wanted to do hospitality.
Ah.
And then I was in matric, picking up someone from the airport, and I saw cabin crew in uniform. And that's when I decided I want to be like them.
You guys always look good in that uniform.
You know?
Yeah.
So, thank you. So after seeing cabin crew in uniform, I was like, no, I'm going to be like them. So I went home and I did my research.
Yeah. And then you got into it.
I did. Got a bursary and then I went and studied.
And you, Andile?
With me, Clement, I went the long way. I was actually fascinated by the traveling on its own.
Uh-huh.
Well, started in reservations, getting them on board, and then get to meet the passengers on board. So it was me of transferring within SA itself. So I actually loved traveling.
Yeah.
So I said that is the best conduit for me to be at to get to the other side.
Okay.
So that's how I get into traveling.
Debsa?
So in 2011, I actually went on a trip, first time flying ever, with the Boxer essay writing competition.
Mm.
And I think at that moment, that's when I realized that I actually wanted to become a crew member. But then I then became a crew member later on in time because I didn't know how one goes about becoming a crew member, etc.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, then that's how I fell in love with it.
What do you guys love the most about the job?
Passengers.
Really?
I feel like they make us
frustrating sometimes.
Mm. Yeah. They can be challenging.
Yeah,
but,
I love your choice of words.
But.
Challenging, not frustrating, yeah?
But I feel like either, it always gives you a good story at a bright, number one.
Oh,
so you're always the interesting
yes.
person because everyone wants to know.
Yeah, you got story for days.
Oh, you know it.
Okay. And for you, what do you love the most?
For me, it's the daily change, the experience. Every day is different. You experience different things every day. Turbulence is different every day. Passengers is different every day. So, yeah, that's what I enjoy, basically.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, Clement, it's all about meeting different passengers and meeting different colleagues as well.
Mm-hmm.
Because you deal with characters from briefing.
Mm-hmm.
And then the background staff that caters for the aircraft, you meet the passengers, which are the most important part at that time. And to deal with them, you handle them. Quite stories as well, some mm-hmm. difficult challenges. I would say with my background in reservation, you sort of knew what's happening behind the scenes.
Mm-hmm.
And when they come with a particular query, you know where to direct it or where to send it after.
Mm.
Let's look at this, let's sort it out.
Yeah. Is it acceptable that you can be late?
No.
No.
Have you ever been late?
I have.
Yeah.
But not late for a flight, maybe like for sign-on, where I have a bit of leeway, but I don't have leeway.
So you have to sign on first. Is that an hour or 2 hours before the flight?
I would sign on as an hour, 15 minutes, before. And then 2 hours if it's regional.
Okay. Have you ever been late?
I have.
Yeah.
I have.
For the sign-on, not for the
sign-on,
flight.
Not for the flight. Yeah.
Okay. Because I've been at airports where you see, like, the pilot rushing in and running. Like, does that mean they're late?
No, they got called out from standby. So either someone was stuck in traffic, someone was sick, so now they've gotten caught out from home.
Okay, cool.
Or maybe sometimes they get delayed due to rotation. Sometimes the flights come from Cape Town, and then out of Johannesburg, I need to connect to a Durban flight.
Yeah.
And the flight from Cape Town came in late, so I need to rush to make a connection to that Devon flight.
Or change of parking bay.
Or change of parking bay. Yeah, all those things.
Parking bay. Yeah. So you guys have to provide like these routine services and respond to emergencies because you have to enjoy our safety, our comfort. I will be very honest. Like when we get those demonstrations, I never really look. I'm being honest here, guys. And I know that's wrong. I mean, judge me, please. I deserve to be judged. Because one, I'm really still scared of flying. So every time I watch you guys do the demonstration, I'm like, it gives me anxiety. Because then I start thinking about the possibilities that this flight is going to go down. So how I protect myself from that anxiety, especially if I'm doing international flights, is just switch off completely and just go, okay. Because I'm really scared. Do you guys get used to, or do you get anxious at all? Like, does flying ever scare you? Have you ever had a turbulence where you thought, okay, God, hi, I'm about to meet you now?
Funny enough, there are days where you really are like, this isn't normal. This is way out of the bounds that I'm used to. And as I say, every day is different, but you get so used to it to the point that, you know, from briefing, you're prepared, you know what to do in case of anything. And we have constant training throughout the year. So every year we have training to prepare and refresh our mind. But through every single day before every flight, we always brief, prepare our minds. But when those moments happen, like a turbulence that's very insane and we're not ready for it, we can't scream. We just have to prepare and pretend as if everything is okay.
Oh my goodness, I can't. But do you sometimes think about that, Claudia, like, If it happens, this is how we're going to open the door. This is how we're going to slide down. Because those demonstrations are quite hectic. I'm like, if we're in the middle of, like, there's the sea, below us. But I'm sliding into the sea? I can't swim. I'm going to die. Do you think about those scenarios?
I do think about those scenarios, but also, like, we do have procedures whereby when we're sitting on our jump seats.
Yeah.
For takeoff and landing, that's not the time to chat and whatnot. That's us busy reciting like what needs to be done in an emergency. So from this step to that step going forth. So that also prepares us mentally. So having that definitely helps. I think also the safety demo, watching it instead of being scared, will actually better your chances and other passengers in getting out quicker.
I feel like when that happens, either I'm going to come and like hold you as the cabin crew member and hang on to you, I'm hanging on to the person I'm sitting next to you.
That's fine, you can hold on.
And I'm endangering their lives because also they need to do their thing.
Exactly.
Yeah, look, I'll learn to watch those things more, guys, but yeah, they give me anxiety. What's your relationship as cabin crew with the pilots?
It's very important, Clement, that we maintain that key link with them because we need to give them an exact feedback of what's happening in the cabin. They also need to give us an exact what they are anticipating and how to prepare the cabin should there be a turbulence, as you said, that we need to store away everything and pick it up. So once we say, Captain, everything is packed up, trolleys are latched, everything, and everybody's seatbelts fastened, then they say, okay. Then we know that everything is fine. It's just we are a link between the two. So once we get a cooperation from passengers, it gets better. If there's no cooperation, we say, Captain, can you please make an announcement? Maybe they will hear it better. And surely after that, the attitude changes. Yeah.
Okay. 011-883-0702. That's the number to dial. You can send us your WhatsApps on 072-702-1702 as well. I'm hosting flight attendants, cabin crew members, on our Across the Desk feature this morning. We're finding out more about their work. Are you in the industry? What's fascinating you the most? What do you think is most challenging? And if you've had those questions you've always wanted to ask cabin crew members, get in touch with us. Let's start with your WhatsApps.
Good morning, Clement and the 702 Landers. good morning to the cabin crew that are joined in the studio with you this morning, Clement. I have two questions. My first question is, how long did it take them to learn this routine of using their hands as someone is speaking over the speakers? That whole routine that takes about like 3 minutes, 5 minutes, I'm not sure. How long did it take them to memorize the whole thing? Because it's quite lengthy and very descriptive. And then the second question is, I mean, obviously their job requires a lot of traveling. Don't they ever get scared about what if the plane never gets where it's going? As it, you know, soars within the clouds, like, don't they ever get scared about what could happen? You know, a technical fault that was missed probably, etc. So yeah, those are my two questions. Thank you, Kia from Pretoria.
Wonderful questions, Kia. Thank you very much. I mean, the MH370 that disappeared, I mean, we still don't know where it is. What do you guys think about that?
Yeah, it's quite scary, Clement. On Kia's first question, I would say those safety demonstrations are quietly rehearsed during our annual SCPT safety training, because we do training.
Oh, on an annual basis?
Yes, on annual basis.
Oh.
And we have to pass them.
Mm-hmm.
It's non-negotiable. And from my side, I was the leader, the one who was doing all those announcements.
Yeah.
So you have to see the crew members as you do them. Don't just keep on reading, or else they are not in sync with you. So you need to be in sync with you when you do the safety mask. Allow them time, and then the safety pamphlets as well.
Yeah.
The wearing of life jacket, just watch them as they go along.
Okay.
But now with technology as advanced, we used to play it on automatic.
Mm.
But you need to be as well as a plan B if
in
system
case that
fails,
doesn't work.
You switch on.
How long did it take you to memorize that? It's so... I mean, that's when you say it, right?
Yes.
You're not reading it when you are saying it.
No, you are reading it, but you get used to it as
you get used to it as time goes on.
It becomes part of you.
Okay, I see. And you guys obviously get used to like the, we start with this and we bring in this
keywords.
And then we do this.
Yeah.
Those keywords have become important. Okay, cool. Let's go to Tim, who's calling us from Kempton Park. Tim, good morning.
Hi, good morning, Clement.
Hey, Sarah.
Yes, Clement, I don't understand why it's one of the requirements to know how to swim so that you at least, you know, qualify to get a job. You know, at some stage, I applied for SAA, and believe you me, I failed swimming twice.
Mm.
But, okay, when I sit back, really, I don't understand why swimming is a requirement, because if you happen to, maybe, let's say there is something wrong with the flight, and you get, you know, into the sea, how are you going to survive? Because there are a lot of things there.
Well, that's why you need to learn.
Exactly.
That's why you need to learn how to swim, Tim, so that you can survive. But yeah, I think, that's precisely the point, right? Mm. Because most of the time, I mean, there's times when you're flying above
sea
level, yeah.
We do have requirements where we have rafts. We can also use the slides, the escape slides, as a raft.
Mm.
So that does help. It also has handles, so it's also a flotation device.
Have they ever put you guys on those slides to just like as a training?
Well, yeah, we do.
Have,
especially
with
aircrafts going in for like a sea check. Then they like do everything. So
oh
we get to
God.
Pop the doors, we get to jump down. Oh, it's the best thing.
No!
I've never done it in an emergency though. But like throughout training, it's like, okay. And it's actually heavier than it looks, eh?
Is it?
Yo, that door's heavy.
That door, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then yet you guys come there during the safety thing and say, when you're sitting in the middle, you must be responsible for the door.
Yep.
Yeah, that overwing exit.
Mm. I'm like, it doesn't imagine I'm running to the back. You'll come open that door. Tabang, in Sebukeng, good morning.
Hey, how are you, Clement?
Hey, Tada.
Hey, sharp man. Tell me, Clement, are they allowed to manhandle? Let me say, I'm in a flight here, I am with a knife. Are they trained to do that?
Like, isn't self-defense if there's, like, some risk in the plane?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you for the question, Tabang. Anyone?
In that case, let's say it happens mid-flight.
Mm.
Mid-flight, you have to warn the person. You warn the person verbal and then final what. And then once all fails, we have to restrain the guy.
Mm.
But now you can't restrain at our own crew's discretion.
Mm.
You have to involve the captain. Make sure on your restriction you don't cuff the guy, because should we have an emergency, that person his mobility is limited because he's cuffed behind the hands.
Mm.
So you sort of put two crew members to sit with him. More especially, it gets to be alcohol related.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
Yes. So. Then when you're still on the ground, it's better because you call the backup.
Mm.
They get the security guys and then they offload it.
Do you guys not think that you should have security in the plane? Like, just two SAPS members?
We got some strong men that can have our back.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
And you hardly have those moments where you really have problems.
We only see that in the movies,
yeah? Only in the movies.
Okay. Yeah, it's a bit exaggerated.
Yeah. And in the movies, it is exaggerated because someone has hidden a gun somewhere or there's a knife.
Yeah.
Or, I mean, but there are instances where people become rowdy because they've been drinking a lot.
They're vibing.
And they're vibing, they're making noise, and other passengers are complaining. When you have told them consistently, hey, take it down, take it down, they're not taking it down, then what? It's sit there with them.
So based on the level of their behavior will determine. So if they can follow instructions, then they're not unruly or too drunk.
Mm-hmm.
But if they don't follow instructions, and we've asked them numerous times, then we go to the captain's letter. That's your final warning. Mm. After the captain's letter, if you're still not going to behave, then we get the cops on board. Because now you're misbehaving in public, you're disturbing other passengers, and also now you're a safety risk to the other passengers.
In fact, Clement, if I may say, there was once a case out of Cape Town. This guy came in intoxicated from the terminal.
Yeah.
Came in on board. Unfortunately for him, he sat next to Miss Mapela Rampele.
Oh.
Miss Mapela Rampele called me, said, "Do you see?" I said, "I've observed it as he came in on board."
Uh-huh.
And I had to deal with it at that time. I said, ask for his boarding card, check if he's got
this
his luggage.
This is in business.
This is right seat 1C. Mapela was sitting 1A.
Yeah.
And I told the captain, the secretary was called, the guy was offloaded.
Mm.
Apparently the guy was making noise, telling everybody who is who in there.
Mm.
And later on, unfortunately for him, President Justice Dustin Mlambo was on board. Dustin called me, said, if anyone gives you a problem, here's my number, call me.
Really?
And then the guy was offloaded. Mapela said to me, had you left that guy to come with us to Johannesburg, I would have been the one getting off because it was a chaos inside the terminal. How they allowed him on board, we don't know, because you're not allowed to come in on board under the influence of alcohol.
Yeah.
It's a no.
It's illegal to take on a drunk passenger. That's a CIA regulation.
Oh my God, we'll talk more about that. So I can't have like a glass of gin before I get on a
you
plane?
Can, you can, but you're
not
drunk.
But don't be intoxicated.
Yeah, intoxicated.
Okay. 10:32. Across the Desk with Clement Manyathela on 702. It's 24 minutes before 11 o'clock. Flight attendants, cabin crew members on Across the Desk this morning. Those are the people I'm hosting. We've been finding out more about their work. I want to hear if you have worked in the industry, what your experience has been. I want to take your questions as well. 011-883-0702. You can send us your WhatsApps on 072-702-1702. Let's start with Desiree, who's calling us from Johannesburg. Hello.
Hello, Clement. It's Desiree here. And hello to the cabin crew there.
Mm-hmm.
I'm an ex-cabin crew. Those guys there would probably call me an old bag because I joined SAA in 1998. I was the second intake of non-whites at the time.
Oh, wow.
It was the best job and still remains the best job that I've ever had.
Mm.
I had the best days of my life there, Clement. I had a lot of incidences. I, too, like those in studio, can write a book. I also enjoyed the unruly passengers.
You enjoyed them?
Yes, because the other passengers would always come to your defense.
Yeah.
I had the likes of the James Small rugby team at the time on board, and then you have them as individuals, and they are wonderful people, but as a team, they are horrible. I had Bafana Bafana, the old team, on board. I met Madiba.
I win.
Cindy Crawford. Donald Trump's ex-late wife. Pavarotti. That's just to name a few. I've been to a Luther Vandross concert in New York. I enjoyed the shopping.
Was that in between your shifts? So you've just landed in New York and you've got another flight in 3 hours. You're like, let me shop quickly.
No, we don't have. At the time, Clement, we used to have 5-day layovers.
Oh, that's dope. New York,
7-day Rios, 10-day Londons. At the time, I was flying. I don't think the crew in the office, in your studio would if they still do experience that, but I certainly did. I had the best time because during the time I was there, it was still when hosties were glamorous. I mean, our uniform had hats and we wore gloves at that time. But I think things have changed now.
With the SAA, the uniform, has it changed now?
Yeah, it has changed.
It has changed now.
Either way, we're so glamorous.
You
it's
are.
Just more modern now.
It is. It's very glamorous. I mean, I've never... Like, the uniform is always looks amazing. Desiree, thank you so much for calling. As the old bag, as you say, they would call you. That's fascinating. Let's take Jeff quickly in Johannesburg. Jeff, hi.
Hello, Clement. How are you?
Sharp, man. Go ahead.
All right. It's the first time to call on 702.
Welcome.
And, I'm glad to be a part of this conversation.
Uh-huh.
And like I said, my name is Jeffrey, and then I'm also going to talk a little bit on the training aspect of cabin crew, because I do facilitate as well one of the components for cabin crew. We used to call it AVMED, but now it's changed. We call it first aid. So I do facilitate.
Mm.
And it's been 10 years that I've been doing that with the cabin crew. And then I just want to tell you, these guys are well trained as far as emergency on board is concerned. Any patient that got sick, they will step in. They will treat the patient accordingly. They're actually well trained on a CPR, include AED and any type of injuries, and then any emergency discharge will step in and manage. And also another area that I want to talk is about them being security officers as well. And then as you were commenting about someone that is going to behave badly and so on, these guys are kind of like a law enforcement. They can actually restrain you if you are not behaving accordingly. But obviously, there is a certain procedure that you need to be followed before they get to that stage. But other than that, it's a very good job. And if you are well trained and got a good instructors and they got a good company to work for, it's actually a very good thing. So that is just my contribution. And
I
wish all the best to the guys.
Thank you.
Yeah. We also deliver babies, Clement.
Yes.
In some cases.
We are trained for it.
The matter of saying, let's bring a human being to life.
Mm-hmm.
And then we bond between Norway.
But where do you take them? You take them at the back of the plane?
Yeah, at the back of
the
plane.
That's where there's more space.
My goodness.
You get newspapers, all the blankets you can get.
Mm-hmm.
Make
hopefully,
it comfortable.
Hopefully, there's a midwife or a medical doctor.
So you guys will do the call out. Do we have a medical doctor on board?
That
is standard.
Yeah, we see that in the movies. Okay.
Doctor's bag, first aid kit is there. Mm. Everything needs to be there. Those are some of the pre-flight checks you do. Some of the pre-flight checks are no-go item. Once the medical doctor, the medical bag is not there, it's a no-go item. It has to be there.
Interesting. Mfundo is asking, Clement, please can you ask them if it's true that the flight attendants sit on their hands when the flight is about to take off? I mean, what does that mean? Isn't like
so we don't sit on our hands, but we brace ourselves.
So we hold the seat, right?
Yeah. Oh, like that.
So it's just in case, like, we have an aborted takeoff, where the aircraft's coming to a complete stop while we're taking off, then, like, we brace. We're not flapping around. So forth,
Okay.
If I can give an example, on a back, aft-facing seat, meaning back-facing seat, you have to put your
head
your back
against
head,
the headrest.
Against the headrest.
Okay.
On a forward-facing seat, you lean forward.
Okay.
Because why the reason is that when the aircraft on active runway slams on brakes, your head is closer to the headrest.
Yeah.
So there's limited no bang.
Yeah. Do you, I hope for an honest answer here. Do you have those pilots you work with that you know are terrible at landing planes? And you're like, oh God, it's going down. It's lemon today.
You know, they're not terrible at landing. I think the weather plays a role in it. They can affect the way they're going to land.
Hey guys, there are some pilots. Where they land, you're like, okay, something just exploded.
Not ours. Sometimes it's like, did we land? Yeah. You don't feel it sometimes.
And, sometimes you don't. Sometimes they're great.
If I may say, when the captain is going to land it,
expect
a rough one. But when the first officer is going to put it down.
What's the difference between captain and first officer?
The captain has got four stripes and the first officer has got three. There's always one on the right.
So the captain has command of the whole
aircraft.
So
that's the bug, the boss, the big boss in the cockpit.
Yeah.
Oh,
but once the first officer puts it down.
Hey guys, sometimes it lands and you're like, what is this? This is Gaza. Like there's just missiles everywhere. Tabuko, you're in Tembisa. Good morning.
Hi, how are you?
Sharp, man. Go ahead.
Yeah, I would like to ask the flight attendant a question here. Do you guys watch a crash investigation? And how do you feel after that? Thank you. I'll listen on the radio.
Funny enough, every now and then after a flight, like I've stopped now, but like when I started, every day I would watch aircraft investigation. I don't know, for some reason it's fascinating and it also keeps me alert towards things that can happen.
Mm.
Because most of the things that happen in those instances are human related. Yeah. So we actually learn that like fatigue can play a role in those things and like not doing your checks properly or
lack
not
of
being
communication.
You know? So certain things you can learn a lot from them. From that, it doesn't cause any anxiety for me personally, but I learn a lot from it. So yeah.
You watch as well?
Yes, I do. I used to watch them, Clement, and then as Deboho has said, you learn from it. It's all about learning and learning.
Mm.
That is all.
That's interesting. Eddie in Benoni. Good morning.
Hello. Good morning.
Hey, Tara.
I wanted to ask these guys, the cabin crew members. Their job, how much does it affect or how much of an impact does it have on their relationships and marriages? Do they struggle? Do they manage? You know, that kind of thing. I'm always asking myself, because I fly a lot and I'm always seeing these guys changing. We leave them in this country and then you take another crew member to another country and, you know, that kind of thing. We are leaving them all over. What happens?
So even in cities, you're in Durban today, in Cape Town, how do you guys manage? Do your partners understand?
Oh, no, you just get one in every city. No, I'm joking.
It's easier when you work locally. You know, when you go every day and you know that every day you'll be coming back home, it's much easier. But you also can make time if you still work out of the country. I mean, I know international crew that spend months away from home. You do get days where you maybe have five days in a month where you can come back home. And, you know, the relationship can still be sustained.
Yeah. Also, you're bringing nice S&T. Like, definitely. You're bringing dollars and euros. Definitely. I mean, how long would you be away from home when you're on international trips?
It would be a week the most I've been away from
home. That's not bad.
No, it's not bad. I would say on that question, Clement, is all about communicating.
Mm. Mm.
Communicate. Obvious, when you apply, you say, this is going to be the situation. I'm applying here, I'm going here. So if I'll be away from home, if you feel tired, talk to me.
Mm.
And again, I had an opportunity of taking them several places.
That
makes it better. So they get to understand. Daddy is not here. We are together this time. It makes it better. They sort of understand. But now it becomes a problem. Say, bring me this, bring me that, when they're not
here. There was a time when SAA used to have a point system. I don't know if the other airlines do that, like a point system where as a cabin crew, you can bring in like someone. I don't know if they can pay for a flight to, I don't know, Brazil at a discounted rate. Does that happen for you guys? Like as members, you know, you work for the airline, you can.
My friends, please don't message me, but.
Because I was that friend. It was like, yo. Yeah.
Yeah, so we do get rebate systems. We can use it for our friends, for our families.
Okay.
But obviously you save it for families or friends for those vacations that you want to do.
Oh.
You'll get passengers even asking for them. It's like, what's that?
Yeah.
It's like, now you know, but before.
Yeah, let's go to some WhatsApp voice notes.
Good morning, Clement. This is Zamokuhle in Pretoria. Two quick questions. Why must we open the blinds on landing and on takeoff? And then again, why must we switch off our phones when we are taking off or landing? Thank you.
Thank you very much. Let's hear some more.
Hi, Clement. Chief Iwa here. Wow, I'm literally getting goosebumps, you know, as I'm listening to the crew members there. You know, I was a crew member myself for about 12 years. I still miss it till today. I'm telling you, I could tell you stories for days. Yeah.
Hi, Clement. Hi, crew that's in the studio. I just have one question. When you're overseas, like maybe UK or USA, what do you do there? I mean, for a couple of days, how soon is it till you return with a new flight? And do you guys stay in the best hotels, or is it just like meager accommodation, very cheap? Thanks.
Hello, Clement and your guests. It's so good to hear cabin crew members on air. My name is Dominika Maseko. I used to work for South African Airways. I used to be a cabin crew member, and then I became a manager. And then I left South African Airways. Now I'm a lawyer, but I still miss that industry. Thank you.
Oh, thank you very much. Amazing. I mean, I haven't gotten one former cabin crew member who says, I hated it.
You know?
Like, everybody's like, I missed that. Okay, you've got those questions. Why do we open our blinds and why do we switch off our phones? And you can take the one about traveling overseas and what you guys do in the hotels. So, why do we...
So for the window blinds, yeah, we keep them open. Reason being, you could see things we don't see. Also, it gives lighting into the cabin, especially like during the day. Like, yeah, should the lights go off in the cabin, say we have an emergency landing or something, there's lighting coming in. At night, you keep it open also. We keep the lights off so that your eyes can adjust to the darkness.
Oh, okay. And how strict are you guys about cell phones being off?
They have to be on flight mode for takeoff and landing, because sometimes it can affect the controls in the flight
communication
deck.
Yeah, with
so
them.
Just on, like, a lot of people assume that it has to be completely off. It just has to be on flight mode.
Okay.
So, yeah, that's
right,
the safest point, yeah.
Hey, Clement, about being overseas for the long time, personally, I used to go buy music before I could eat. So buying CDs for me was a time pusher, big time. And shopping, obvious, for my family, making sure that I give them what they want, they get what they want, just for them to see that I haven't forgotten about them. Yeah. It's still also part of keeping up, as that guy asked. But mostly for me, it was all about music and the debriefings that we used to do at the hotel. One guy said, the type of hotel you stayed at, I'll be very honest with you and blunt, SA used to give us the best hotels.
Okay.
Best hotels. They will never should change us anyway.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's good. Pumla, good morning. You're calling from Joburg. Hi, Pumla.
Hi. Good morning, Clement.
Sure.
I was also a flight attendant for SAA for 18 years. The best part of it was to jump seat in the whole world. I used to jump seat landing New York, jump it is like, you know, asking a lift to go to Atlanta or some beach. When the two towers were smashed, I was actually airborne, flying from West Palm Beach to Atlanta. I got stuck for more than 4 hours airborne without knowing what was happening actually on the ground.
Wow.
So, yeah, that was one of the most scariest experiences of my life. But I came up too, but still, that was the best job ever.
Amazing. Good to hear that, Pumla. There's a question from a listener who wanted to know, how often is the sewage taken from the flight?
After every flight.
After every single flight.
After every single flight.
We get a toilet service, yeah.
Okay,
every landing.
Yeah. Okay.
Morning, Clement, and your guest there. Mina, what I want to know is, do your guests still get starstruck? Because, hey, they see a lot of famous people there. Abu Mampile Rampe, Abu Clement Manyatela, and all of those. Do they still get starstruck? That's what I want to know. Thibos here, Pretoria.
Hi, Clement. you know, I see you speaking to flight attendants, and yeah, I love those people. God bless their souls. I remember there was an incident where I had quite a lot to drink, actually. Last year after Comrades Marathon, after running, we drank. Then I got onto the flight. Then I actually, one of the days, like, hey, yeah, I know you look intoxicated. Just get your seat, nani. And I mean, I wanted to buy another beer. And she was like, no, sir, rather get water. And then she got me water. And yeah, I mean, she gave me the water. She didn't even make me pay for it. So yeah, that's just my beautiful, one of my many beautiful experiences with flight attendants. And yeah, God bless their souls, man. Hola, it's Mabutu from Midlands.
Hey, Clement. It's Salome here from Pretoria, Lenwood. I just needed to find out what happens if somebody dies on a flight and the flight is still a bit far to the destination. I mean, it's not like you can just go to the next stop and sort it out. How do they deal with that?
Good morning. Good morning, Clement. Good morning. And good morning to your guests there at the studio. It's Sandile here. Now, I just wanted to ask something. Okay. I've got a friend who recently came from England. So when he landed, he was complaining about he's jet lagged. He flew like 15 hours nonstop. I don't know from London Street. Maybe connected, but he flew like 15 to 16 hours nonstop. So I just wanted to ask, how do these guys take breaks? Because, like, imagine, like, flying 16 hours and then you have to, you know, cater for people. I mean, how do they take breaks?
Okay. I mean, London wouldn't be 14 hours.
No, it wouldn't.
It can be. Yeah. But then what's the longest flight you've... I think my longest flight was probably Brazil. How long is that? 15?
Oh, no, from here.
Yeah.
No, Brazil is about 10.
No ways. Yeah. 10 hours? Not
straight. No, it's short.
Even 12, is it?
It's short.
So America would be 14.
New York was the longest I've done.
Yeah.
15.
Okay.
The nice thing
how
about
do you
this
take breaks
job,
there?
You are found guilty for not sleeping. So you get paid to sleep. More especially on those ultra long flights.
Oh.
We are governed by CAA law.
Yeah.
It says you need to sign on at this time and have so much break in between the flights after the service.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If one member doesn't sleep, that FDP, that flight duty period, gets messed up because we are not all fit to do the flight.
Mm-hmm.
And when you land at a destination, you're supposed to have so many hours of break, then you can resume duties.
Don't go shopping too much that you are compromising on your sleep.
Unfortunately, Clement, what happens after you have landed, it's your problem. But once you come on board, a certain rule kicks in.
So on a flight to America in that 14, 15, if you're in New York, you can't sleep. Like you must be awake all the time.
Then change and then go to the crew rest.
So you can
crew rest.
Just be away from the crew.
Do you guys get starstruck?
It depends on who's on board.
Have you ever had anybody that you went,
the beast,
ma'am?
Tendai, the beast.
Oh, really? did you say, oh my God? Because sometimes I feel, when you are on a plane and you see someone who's famous is sitting next to you, like, and you see the Kevin crew, like, are like, oh my God, is that the person? But they don't go and go, oh my God, I love you. Like, they just pretend like everything is normal.
I'm bold.
And what do you say? You go and go.
I was lucky to have him twice on my flight, literally a day after each other. So I literally wrote a note and I'm like, you don't have to keep catching flights to see me.
A queen. Oh, I love that.
Such a great sport.
Oh, I love that. And have you ever been starstruck?
I have, but I feel like sometimes I don't want to invade one space.
Yeah.
So I just play it cool and just, you know, I acknowledge them and that's okay
and
for
just
me.
Just keep it moving.
And just keep it moving.
You don't write letters.
You have to control it at times.
Yeah.
You see it once they come in on board, then you gel with them. But I think some anticipate them. After the service, before sleep, if you want pictures, he will say it. And then they will move aside and then take pictures. But in the morning, we try not to disturb them.
Absolutely.
Yeah, someone asked about someone dying. What happens?
That's an unfortunate situation, death, because it's that someone gets sick and get a doctor. Lucky enough, if there's a doctor, the doctor will be there and assess the situation. Always, always keep the flight deck informed of the situation as the doctor's report. If the doctor said the situation is bad, they'll try and land at the closest landing strip.
And where's that person during that time?
But if they're dead, because now we're talking about a dead person, right?
When he's dead, he's dead.
So either you're going to the bathroom, depending on... Like, if you look like you're asleep, it's okay. Yeah. We could keep you in your seat. We'd use, seatbelt extensions to strap you in. But obviously, that's going to cause alarm to the other passengers.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it will.
So the other option would be, it sounds so morbid and so disrespectful, but the lavatory.
Yeah.
Body bag. Lavatory and lock it.
Put it in a body bag, lavatory. We lock that, we block that toilet, and it's not working.
Sure, yeah.
Guys, but then when we land, there's all...
They're ready there.
Bells and whistles will be waiting for you.
Yeah. Mm. Guys, thank you so much for making time. I think I understand more about your work than I thought I did.
May I just say something in passing, Clement? We are doing a very good job. Might not be understood or taken for granted by other people. More especially us guys who took packages or were retrenched by the SAA. To the corporate world there, please look at us differently. Some of us are over the age of 40. When we apply, we get challenges.
Because they think you're too old.
Yes, there's a mountain of talent there.
Yeah.
The skill, it may not be on paper, but verbally
and
working with a human being, it goes far.
It does.
So I'm saying to the corporate world, please look at us. We were trained thoroughly by SAA using the government money.
Yeah.
So put us
to good
use.
Those skills are there. So put them to good use.
Please.
Claudia and Andile, thank you so much, guys, for making time.
Thank you so much.